ears to hear, and Lord, hearts that are willing to be molded and shaped and changed. And we thank you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as I said, we're going to kind of go in that sensitive area. And I do think it's a sensitive area when we talk about the call of God. And hey, there's a ton of books written on it. People write about it. Even some of us read about it. We've read several maybe different books, looked at it from different ways. And still sometimes we go away with, I don't know what the call is in my life. And it may be, part of it may be we're really not listening. Part of it may be we're afraid if we hear that we'll have to do something. I think that's part of it. Or part of it is we're just still wondering and looking, and you know what? God has not moved in a direction yet. And that's okay. All of that is okay. Well, some of that's okay. Some of it's not, you know. But listen, as we look at this tonight, let's kind of keep in mind this young guy that we're looking at. And we will read the term boy several times. But he's not a little boy anymore. And if you know much, a little bit of catching up. Samuel was born to Hannah, and she dedicated him to the Lord and took and left him at the temple as a little boy. But now he's 14, 15, 16 years old. He's been there for a while. He's been serving the Lord. Something important you might want to write down in your notes. He's serving the Lord. You want to hear from the Lord? You might try serving him and getting involved. But listen, he's serving the Lord. But the nation as a whole, Israel, is in really, 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 really bad shape. If you're familiar with the book of Judges, at the end of the book of Judges, it says everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Samuel comes right after Judges. So kind of keep that in mind. As a matter of fact, Samuel might have been born around the time of Samson. Not sure of the exact chronology there, but about that time. So listen, Israel wasn't doing good. And here's what a lot of people say. Well, if I lived in a different time, or if I lived in a better place, or if it was more spiritual around me, I could get it together. And, you know, I personally think that's a cop-out. It's not about that. This is between you and the Lord and your relationship with him. And it's good to keep it in mind. So let's look here at the first verse here. And you know, it tells us, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. In those days, there was no widespread revelation. So here's, again, interesting. He's serving the Lord. And, you know, something to point out here is it says he ministered to the Lord alongside of Eli. Eli's the high priest. But notice that Samuel is focused on the Lord, not on his ministry duties, not on Eli. He's ministering to the Lord. And I think that's important that we get kind of that concept. And then secondly, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Hey, there wasn't a lot of revelation going on. As a matter of fact, from the time of Joshua, if you go all the way back to Joshua, from the time of Joshua until the time of Samuel, do you know that there are only three prophets mentioned? And that's several hundred years, approximately, probably closer to 500 years. Only three prophets are mentioned, and only five special revelations given during that time. So listen, it's a cop-out when we go, well, if I lived in a more spiritual time, then Jesus would speak to me, or if I had more spiritual surroundings, this would happen. It's up to us. Samuel is ministering to the Lord in the midst of those circumstances. And by the way, Eli, not a great, 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 great spiritual leader. Not a guy that most of us would look up to and go, wow, I want to be like that guy. As a matter of fact, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They're kind of in bad, bad shape. I always say they bobbed for meat, like some people bobbed for apples in the temple. They were bobbing for meat and sleeping with women. Wow. Now here's the kicker. And dad didn't do anything about it. A lot of stuff going on. We'll look at the end of this. So Eli's a high priest. He's got these two sons that are ripping people off and that are committing, immoral acts there in the temple. So you have all that going on. And what does Samuel do? Throws up his hands and says, well, I guess God's not in this place. No, what does he do? He ministers to the Lord and he listens. There's a heart for the Lord. So don't use your spiritual surroundings. You know, some of us go, man, I live in a heathen house. Well, you're a believer, bring a little light in, right? Or I have this, or my, you know, whatever, and fill in, a, you know, I live in a heathen nation. Look what's going on in our nation. And if I, you know, if I only lived during biblical times, biblical times weren't so good all the time, especially now in Samuel's time in Israel. It stinks. It's terrible. So that's going on. The word of the Lord is not being revealed much. And then it says this, we get kind of into the nitty-gritty, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim, that he so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So listen, we get a little bit of background of what's going on. Eli's lying down, you know, and again, it's not just he's lying down on the job, although he was. Eli's eyes are growing dim. Well, they were way dimmer spiritually than they were physically. And, you know, I think all of that's a sign. But listen, and then it says about the time where the lamp about went out. I don't think they're saying, they could be saying they weren't ministering properly, because if back in Exodus, when they made the lampstand for the tabernacle, it was never to go out. So it could be just giving us a time frame, meaning about the time when it would go out when it needs tending, or it could be saying it's about to go out. I kind of say it's giving us a time frame. I don't think they're letting the lamp go out. That's, again, my personal opinion. But listen, all of that's going on, and here's what it says. At that moment, right then, the Lord speaks to Samuel, and here's what he says, Samuel, and Samuel goes, here I am. Now, look at this, is kind of crazy. He's like pretty excited guy, right? He goes, here I am. And verse 5 says, so he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli said to him, I did not call you, go lie down again. So listen, he heard and he responded, right? But he responded wrong. Now, a couple things, and we're going to talk about this in a little more detail in a moment. A couple things. Sometimes here's what we feel. Well, you know what? If I miss the call of God in my life, that's it. I'm done. He'll never do it again. There's no second chances. There's no third chances. And if I like hear it wrong, I'm done. I'm out. No way. No way. Do you really serve a God like that? The God that I know that's revealed in Scripture doesn't act that way. He doesn't go, that's it, sorry, man, I called you once. You didn't respond. Look at, if anybody does it wrong, Samuel does, doesn't he? Look right here. Here's this guy, man, and he's eager. There's no doubt he's eager. And he runs to Eli, and he goes, here I am. And Eli's going, dude, we're supposed to be sleeping. Go back to bed. What are you doing? Why are you bugging me? It is kind of interesting, though, isn't it, that they're in the same place. One of them's hearing the voice of God. One of them isn't. Lesson number one, you want to hear from the Lord? You need to be ready to hear from the Lord. You need to be in that place in your heart where you're really wanting to hear. A lot of us, as I say, a lot of us, here's what we say. Well, I want to hear from the Lord, but I want the whole picture. I want everything. I want to know exactly where we're going. And you know what you're going to get? Nothing. Because God's not going to show you the whole picture. He's not going to send you like a DVD set. Here's what's going to happen in your life. Here's what you're going to do. Because here's if we're really honest, a lot of us want it that way for this reason. So we can vote whether we want to do it or not, right? We don't want to hear from the Lord. We want to, well, no, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do, but not that, not and that for sure, we're not going there. And listen, he's not going to give that to you. Have you ever noticed as you read through the Bible, the men he's called? Have you ever noticed what he tells them? Generally, here's what he tells them. Go. Abraham. Hey, Abraham, go. Where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. You just start walking. You just pack up your family and start going. You know, and a lot of us go, well, it was easier for Abraham. Seriously, you really think it was easier for him? You think to pack up everything in those days? I think it's a lot easier for us to travel now. He had to get cattle together. He had to get camels together. He had to get this whole caravan thing going. And he takes off. And God says, where are we going? Well, you'll find out when you get there. When I get there? And when he called David, what did he tell David? He says, David, use what's in your hand. What's in David's hand? A sling and a stone. Moses, why don't you serve me? What am I going to do, Lord? Just take that staff and go. You see, it's not real complicated, but here's the thing. Most of us, if we're honest, we don't have the faith to take the first step. He's saying, just go on. All you got to do is take a step. And you got to start following him. You got to start trusting him. And listen, here he's calling Samuel, and Samuel's running over to Eli. Here I am. And Eli says, just go back to bed. So number one, he got called. He missed the call, didn't he? Yeah, he totally missed it. So check out what God does. He goes, that's it. Let's go to chapter 4. No, that's not what he says. Listen. This is in verse 6. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down. I'm going to knock you out. Now look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now I think as it's saying he did not know him, I believe that's in a close, intimate sense. It's not like he had no knowledge of him, because he was serving, right? He was ministering to the Lord, but he didn't know this part. And again, here's what some people say. Well, you got to get really close. You got to really know the Lord before he's going to call you. No, you don't. You got to be ready. You just got to be ready and willing. Right? Ready, willing, and wanting. You got to really want to know what God has for you. And listen, if we're not in that place, if we're not ready, if we're not willing, if we're not really wanting it, you're not going to hear from him, because you're not in that place where you're going to say, okay, whatever it is, I don't care, Lord, whatever it is, I'm going to go. And so you have this young guy who's there, but it says, listen, he didn't know him, nor did he know his voice. Here's what he kept saying. Eli, he keeps thinking this old guy's calling him. And it is interesting, because he knew Eli's voice, didn't he? Sure. He's been around him for years. He's been listening to him. Now, I find that interesting, because a lot of people, we can tell their voices, right? It's, for me, it's rather interesting, because people will come to me and they go, well, I know you. And I go, really, I don't think I've ever seen you. Well, I hear you on the radio. And they'll hear my voice. I've been in Walmart with my wife talking to her. And I've had people in the other aisle say, Pastor Pat, is that you? And my first thought is, I have to be honest, my first thought is, what was I saying? I hope I was saying, I love you, dear. Whatever you want, that's what we're going to do, because I'm not a good shopper. I'm a guy. Guys, here's what we do. We go in, bag it, and get out, right? It's just like hunting. Hunting, shopping's the same thing for us, right? Bag it, get out. Ladies like to do, it drives me crazy. This is not a shopper. It's funny, I was talking to, we were doing our Christmas service, and I was talking about shopping, and I don't know why I bring it up a lot, just because I don't like it. And I brought up having to go to Trader Joe's with my wife. And we have to come up to Tucson to do that. Now, it's not that I don't like the products in Trader Joe's. I don't like the acquiring the products in Trader Joe's. It's just like she goes, well, we have to go to Trader Joe's today. I go, seriously? I'd say something, but I'd insult somebody, but I'd rather do about anything than go to Trader Joe's. And then here's what's bad. Then somebody came over to my house and they go, after your message, I'm kind of embarrassed, but I'm giving you guys a gift certificate to Trader Joe's. I go, oh, it's fine. I like the product. She'll use it. It's good. And they felt so bad. But listen, it is interesting, isn't it? Is that we get in a place and people recognize us. They hear us. And it's interesting to me that Samuel kept going to Eli. That's something to think about. Because here's what I think. I think a lot of us, we wait for that very, very, very distinct voice of God that is going to be deep and echoey, right? Oh, that's God. Listen, this kid kept going to Eli. Why? Because this is what he was hearing. Oh, I just heard a phone go off. That's coffee. For whatever row that's in, you know what? Hey, in our fellowship, if your phone goes off, you got to buy coffee for that row. Just letting you know. And I'm here kind of subbing in. Oh, and by the way, I'm in every row, so I get coffee. That's all I care about. But listen, here he is. He's waiting. He's hearing. He goes to Eli. Eli is so dead spiritually. He's not getting it. And then listen, it happens again. Now it happens a third time. Then, it says in verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Now they're kind of having an argument, right? "You did call me. I heard you. You called me." Then Eli, check this out. The blind guy, blind physically and spiritually. Then Eli then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Here's Eli, like, you know, he may not be really aware of things spiritually, but here he's going, "I think this is God." So he tells Samuel, look what he tells him. He goes, listen. He goes, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he, the Lord, calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." So keep in mind what he told him. So something for encouragement for us, because some of us think we missed the call of God in our life. Three times, and God still hasn't given up on him. Do you think God's going to give up on you? Listen, he's going to knock and he's going to knock and he's going to knock and he's going to knock. But you got to want to hear it. You got to be willing. You got to be ready. So I remember in my life, you know, it's interesting. Some people only know you in one perspective. And people, you know, even some people in our church, I go, "Do you think I was like born a pastor?" You know, and hey, I went through a lot of the process a lot of you are going through. I remember when I got saved, and when I got saved, it was kind of like, you know, I feel like I was going really hard the other direction. It's kind of like God just picked me up and turned me around and put me back down. And I was going, when I first got saved, I was going full bore for God, man. I went to every meeting I could, and I still try and do that. I like to go to meetings because here's what, part of it has to do with my whole patient factor. I'm not patient. And I'm afraid if I don't go to a function that something really cool might happen and I'll miss it. I'm afraid that God might do something really awesome and everybody go, "Oh, you should have been there." So I just make sure I'm there. And then I can tell other people, "Should have been there, man. It was so awesome." And listen, so I'm going and going, and I so wanted to hear what God had for me. But I'd already kind of made up my mind. I got saved, and I was discipled by some missionaries that did a lot of work in Mexico amongst the Tarahumaras, and we got real involved in the ministry because they were discipling us, and we were going down to Mexico a lot. We were working with them a lot. We were up in the mountains there with the Tarahumara Indians, and I had kind of decided that's what I was going to do. I was going to go, and I was going to move down to Mexico, to Chihuahua, up in the mountains, and I was going to minister to those Indians. I was sort of trying to sell it to my wife, because she wasn't really keen on the idea of Little House on the Prairie. I mean, really Little House on the Prairie. No modern conveniences. Nothing, no electricity, nothing like that. But that's what I had in my heart. That's what I thought God wanted for me. And I have to be honest, I would kind of, here's how I would pray. "Lord, I want to know your will, which village?" Any of you guys pray like that? You've kind of already made up your mind. You're just kind of giving him a choice. We do that sometimes, don't we? "Lord, I think I'm supposed to buy a new car. What color would you like?" Not should I, we just kind of, and so that's where I was, only this was a huge thing, this was a life thing, and I'm ready to do it, man. That was the, and I wasn't listening to the call in my life, I'm just ready to go. And God bless my wife, because here's what she said, "I am so not doing that." And I go, "Oh honey, you'll come around." So I began to pray for her, right? Because that's what we should do. Hey, I had a good friend who was really mad at his wife at the time because she was ruining his ministry from his perspective. I'll never forget. We're driving. We're way back in the mountain someplace, and the truck broke down, and the axle came off, and we're stuck in the middle of nowhere, so we decide to have a theological discussion. And, you know, he's kind of upset, and he's saying, man, my wife is holding me back. And I go, well, then God is so stupid. And he goes, why would you make that statement? I go, well, didn't God bring you two together? Yeah. Didn't he know where you would be and what she would? Yeah. And I go, well, I guess he kind of blew it. He should have brought you someone else. And he got really mad. We didn't talk for about an hour. So we worked on a truck. But see, I was kind of in that same thing. If my wife would only, and here's what I didn't know. God was using my wife to keep me from doing something that he had never called me to do. And here the whole time, here's what I thought. I have to be honest with you. Here's what I thought. I'm going to miss this call. I'm going to miss it for sure. I'm going to miss it. I know I'm going to miss it. And I remember going through a few years of just agony. I'm going to miss this call. God's going to go on. He's going to, you know, do whatever he's going to do in the world, and I'm going to be left behind. Do any of you feel that way? Don't raise your hands. It's kind of what we feel like. Listen, we need to take courage from Samuel, don't we? Four times. Well, three times. Now the fourth time, he goes, listen, he's going to call you and check out what he says. I'll finish that. Some of you said you left us hanging. It's okay. I didn't move to Mexico. So it's kind of obvious, right? So listen. And then it says, verse 10, now the Lord came and stood and called out as other times, and he said, Samuel, notice this time, Samuel, Samuel. Whenever God says your name twice, really pay attention. If he only says it once, you can kind of, but when it's two times, notice, check it out in Scripture. You think I'm kidding? Check out. When he says it twice, listen, Samuel, Samuel, and check out what Samuel answered. Speak, for your servant hears. And listen, isn't that exactly what Eli told him to do? Except for one thing. Eli said to say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Samuel says, speak, for your servant hears. So listen, Samuel's finally in that place, whether he said Lord or not, I think he already knew. But listen, he's in that place where now he's going to hear, now he's going to do. I call that point of surrender where you're going to go, okay, God. Now for me, listen, for me it happened, only I had to go all the way to Guadalajara, Mexico, to hear God say, I want you to go to Bible college in California. He works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Listen, I went on a trip, and it's the worst trip I have ever been on. It was horrible. It was horrible from the start. We're up in the mountains of Mexico ministering to some of the tribal people, and, you know, our trucks are breaking down. We're working on them constantly. We're trying to get down to Guadalajara. We're back in the middle of nowhere. At one point, we drove on ground that the ground just opened up and swallowed us, kind of. It just, we're in these trucks, and it just went like this. One of our trucks was sitting there, and I just did this, and it went down to the axles. It's like, why did that happen? So we're using other trucks to pull trucks out, and we're just like, and then we get on the highway. My truck broke down six times on the highway. And here's what we're all going. Everybody's doing this. It was great, man. Everybody's going, you know why this is happening? Because God is going to call Pat into full-time ministry to Mexico. And we're going, yeah, let's fight the devil, you know, and we're going to get down there, and we're going to make it down there. And we're ready, man, and we get all the way. And listen, the fourth time my truck broke down, here's what my wife said. Whatever you want to do, we're going to do it. She says, I can't take this. And I go, yes. And I got to Guadalajara to the big missions conference where God was going to call me, and he did. But it wasn't to Mexico. God spoke to my heart very, very clearly. He didn't speak to me audibly like he's doing Samuel. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Most of us would go, yeah, I wish he would. Hey, he's talking to you right now. Even if he did it audibly, you'd do the same thing you're doing right now. Either tune him out or make excuses. If you're making excuses. I remember he spoke to my heart, I want you to go to Bible school. And I want you to prepare yourself because I want you to pastor. And I went, Lord, Mexico. Mexico, the tribal people, they need me. Are you willing to do anything? Hey, that like changed my whole direction of what I thought I was going to be doing for the Lord. I mean, like, a 180 turn. Are you willing? He goes, Samuel, Samuel, yes, Lord, I'm listening. See, there's the big thing. Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Then verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Okay. Listen, God says, I'm about to do something that's going to blow everybody's mind. And you're 15 years old, and I'm going to give you the revelation. Thank you, God. And listen, then he goes on, and he says, in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be atoned for by the sacrifice or offering forever. Here's what God is saying. Listen, and he spoke this to them directly. Go back to chapter 2. Read it for homework. He sent a prophet to speak it, and now he's confirming it to Samuel, and here's this kid. Lord, I'll do whatever. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell that man that you've been working alongside, that you've been serving, that time's up. That what the prophet said is going to come true, and God is going to destroy his house. Okay? Lord, I didn't want to serve you that way. I like wanted to light the candles. I wanted to sweep out the place. I didn't think it was going to be like this serious. Now I want you to go tell Eli that, okay? What do you do, saint? Now listen, I don't think he's going to give, you know, that's a real, quote, prophet of doom type thing. And I don't want some of you here tonight going, that's me. I'm the prophet of doom. Be careful. Be very careful. But that's what he gave Samuel. His first part of his ministry, he's saying, do that. Now, here's what I believe. I believe all this was audible. I don't think it was just in his heart. When God called me, it was in my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice. Some people maybe get that. I've never got that. I've never gotten an audible voice from the Lord. I've kind of wanted it really bad. I've never gotten a vision from the Lord as far as really seeing things. I've gotten vision, but not those sort of things. And I'm thinking, you know, man, it would be good if he just like spoke directly and let us know. But Samuel's getting that. And he says, here's what's going to happen. Everything I said in chapter 2 through the prophet, because Samuel was there, through the prophet who came, it's going to come to pass, and everybody's ear is going to tingle, because if you read chapters 4, 5, and 6, it gets really bad really fast for the nation of Israel. So listen, he says, all of that's going to happen. Verse 15, so Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Here's what's going on. Samuel went and lay down, finished sleeping, got up in the morning, and here's what he's doing. How's it going? Fine, Eli. If God spoke to us audibly, we would be tweeting it, we would be Instagramming it, we would be putting it on Facebook, and here's what we'd say. I heard the voice of God. Yeah, wouldn't we? You know, you guys are going, not. Yes, we would. What does Samuel do? Here's what he's thinking. I don't really want to tell that guy that news. Maybe part of it's fear. Maybe he's afraid. If I really tell Eli what's about to go down, who knows what he'll do? And those two whacked out kids of his, who knows? They're supposed to be serving the Lord, but I don't know if they're going to like chop me up and put me in the pot that they're getting the meat out of. But I do think it's interesting that he goes about serving the Lord. You see, in my life, here's what I found out. If you really want to get the call of God on your life, start going in that direction. Hey, if you go in the wrong direction, hey, I went all the way to Guadalajara to get to California. Come on. He can get you where he wants you. Listen, just start moving. I'm sure we've heard that old saying, right? It's easier to steer a moving boat than one, you know, sitting still, or a car that's moving than, well, we have power steering now, so it kind of doesn't work out. But do you know what I'm talking about? Get going. Get going. And listen, if you're, hey, I did all kinds of stuff. When I first got saved, man, I did almost everything there is to do, you know, with the church, without the church, in the church, outside of the church, in the community, except children's ministry, because people would never let me near their children, you know, and that's a whole different story. But listen, I did everything. I did everything because I just wanted to know, God, what do you want me to do? I did prison ministry and got out. That was good. Listen, I did all kinds of stuff. And here's what a lot of us are doing. Well, I'm not going to do anything till he shows me. Get up and do something. Start serving him. And then as he shows you, you don't have to broadcast it to everybody. God told me, you know. Why don't you just start moving in that direction? Here's Eli going in that, I'm sorry, here's Samuel just cruising along, right? Now, he's got a word for Eli. Here's what he's doing. I'm going to wait till Eli asks me. So here's what Eli goes. Listen, it's cool. Eli knew that he was having this conversation with the Lord. So listen, verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? And he answered, here I am. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it? How many times did he hear that last night? Verse 17, and he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? And Samuel's going, I'm still interpreting it. Isn't it time to like light the candles or something? He didn't want to tell him. Hey, here's kind of a cool thing. Eli wasn't a great guy. Samuel loved him and respected him. Remember that. He cared about that man. That man basically raised him. And so you could tell, there's a pause, what's going on. So here's what he says. Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Here's what I find kind of interesting about verse 17. It seems like Eli sort of knew that the news wasn't going to be good, huh? Because here's what he says. If you hide anything from me, I hope that comes upon you even to a greater degree. So it's kind of like he knew that wasn't really good news. I don't know if he eavesdropped. I don't know what's going on. But he kind of knew, and he says, listen, you got to tell me. So here's what Samuel did, verse 18. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Here's the bummer about Eli. Is Eli and his sons thought they were getting away with it. You know why? Nothing happened for years. You see, sometimes we sin and there's no consequences. There's no immediate consequences. Something's going on and we think we're getting away with it. Do you understand? Do you understand whatever you sow, that you're going to reap? Doesn't that sound familiar? Listen, it's not karma. It's Galatians chapter 6. God said, you know, do not mock the Lord. For whatever you sow, that you will reap. And that only makes sense physically, right? Have you ever planted corn and got turnips? No, we know that, right? We know it in the physical world. Then why do we try and do it in the spiritual world and we don't read our Bibles, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't hang out with believers, we do all these crazy things, and then we go, how come I'm not spiritual? And God says, because you're getting exactly what you're sowing. And so here's what's going on. It's payday. It's payday for Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. So Samuel told him everything. Here's what, I think he did it with a broken heart, not with this proud, arrogant, you're going down. It's going to be bad. You're going to fall off a bench and break your neck. I read ahead. It's going to be really bad. No, don't you think he's saying it gentle? Here's what's going to happen. Remember the prophet who came in chapter 2? He wouldn't have said chapter 2, but you know what I'm saying. Everything he said is going to come true. You see, sometimes getting the call of God in our life doesn't have immediate woohoo factor. Sometimes it's a, oh no, I got to deal with this, and I got to deal with this, and I got to deal with this. So listen, he does it, and I stopped on purpose because in the middle of verse 18, it just sort of dumbfounds me. And then Eli said, where it said, you know, he did not hide nothing, and he hid nothing from him. And he, meaning Eli, said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. You know, that's just kind of bumps me out. Here's what Eli's going, okay. If he's going to like knock me off my stool and I'm going to fall over and break my neck, it's so be it. Do you know why that bumps me? Do you know why God told Eli through a prophet and then told him through Samuel? So he would repent. He's given him a chance. You see, God loves us so much that he's gonna let us know, hey, stop it. Turn. Change. Come back. He told him through a prophet, and then he tells him through this kid that's really close to him, or teenager, turn. And here's what he does. He just kind of throws up his hands. Oh, well, if that's what God is going to do, so be it. It's like, dude, no, repent. Do you ever want to jump in your Bible and help out? I do, man. I want to jump in there and I want to grab Eli. Stop it. He's telling you to repent. Don't you get it? Now, I kind of think Samuel did those same things. But he just says, oh, well. Bummer for Eli, but look at what happens to Samuel, because this is good. Because here's what we need to know. Samuel acted on what God had shown him, right? Someone nod their head, so I know you guys are awake. Good. Okay, thank you. I thought you were all like... He acted on it. Think about that. Now listen what it says. Verse 19, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, I really love Samuel 19. None of his words fell to the ground. Could that be said about you? I often pray that verse. Lord, don't let my words fall to the ground. I got a lot of words that are on the ground. And this guy grew in the Lord. He grew in the knowledge of the Lord. He was careful about what he said. He was careful about, I heard it. He was careful about conducting himself. Listen, and he says, listen, none of his words. And then I love this, verse 20, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba. Here's what that means from top to bottom. That's what that, you know, that's Dan to Beersheba. That's what they're talking about. Knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then check this out, verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And verse 1 of chapter 4 says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Here's what happens as you begin to act on what God has shown you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to show you the next step and the next step and the next step. He's not going to, again, it never comes to the place in my life, in my ministry, I've never got the panoramic view of this is what's going to happen. Had I gotten it, I probably would have never gone forward. There's some things that have happened that have not been fun, that have not been all joy. Oh, they've been working on me. They've been changing me. They've been necessary in my life. But listen, take that step. We're so afraid to take that. If I take that first step, he's going to make me do something I really hate. I just know it. If I just do that, it's going to be something I really, really hate. And that's why I won't take that first step back. Because if I do that, it's going to be misery. And that's the God revealed in Bible. That was sarcasm. No. That's not our God. But we're afraid, aren't we? Let's be honest. We're afraid. Trust him. Act on the things he shows you. And here's what's going to happen. He'll reveal more of his word to you, more of his word to you, more of his word to you. You want to hear from the Lord? You got to practice in a sense. And I'm not saying weird stuff. Here's what I'm saying. Act on it. Do you think God is going to show you something and you're going to reject it and he's going to go, okay, let's go to step two? Wow. He didn't do that with Samuel. He called him four times. So you and I, listen, I want to leave us with encouragement. Number one, God's not going to give up on you, even if you play the game with him. Because he's going to keep knocking. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And our God is a patient God. I've read the Old Testament. He's a very patient God. So he's going to knock. So you know what? You can kind of go through and you can waste a lot of years, or you can start acting on what he's showing you. And you know what? You may go down a road like I did and go the complete wrong direction. And if you do that, he's not going to say, psh, sorry, you went the wrong way. Just go over there and live up in the mountains of Mexico and starve to death. No, he didn't give up on me, did he? He even broke down our vehicles like, you know, 100 times it seems like. Hey, this going to Guadalajara is not a good thing. Bet me, God, we're getting to Guadalajara if we have to crawl there. He says, okay, then I'll talk to you in Guadalajara. See you there. Have a nice trip. You want to hear him? I think most of us do. I think most of us really want to hear him. So you know what? Listen. Listen, maybe some of you, he's speaking to you tonight, and you're hearing it, but you're not hearing it, and you're a little bit afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Trust him. Act on what he's showing you, and he'll give you more. That's a promise. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. And God, as I read this section, I'm always amazed at God, you speaking to this teenager. In the midst of a time of spiritual darkness in the country, spiritual darkness in, quote, the church, meaning Israel at that time, spiritual darkness in the house of God. And yet, Lord, in the midst of all of that, you could get a hold of the heart of this young man. So here's what I know. You can get a hold of our hearts anytime, any place. So God, I pray tonight, if nothing else, as we're standing here together as a group, that God, individually, we would say, Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm wanting. So God, speak to me. Give me that first step so that I can take it. And that, Lord, we would do that. Bless your people tonight. Encourage them. As they get ready to go home and as they get in their homes, God, I just pray that they would have that close, intimate time with you, and you would minister to their hearts, that you would speak to their hearts. And then I pray for faith to act on that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.